It's Mary
and Jenny,
and we came into our identities in our 30s.
This is Queerly,
where we do life in community.
Welcome back.
Hello, everybody.
Hello, dope souls. It's always amazing to be back. Like 100 times amazing.
Feels good.
Yeah, to talk.
Mary, yes. What has your joy been this week?
Can I go like a week farther? Like rather than... So I had this opportunity to take myself out on a date. So I went...
Ooh.
Yeah. I mean, those dates are amazing. If you ever get an opportunity to take yourself out, I think it's brilliant.
Oh, yeah.
So I went to watch... Is it called The Woman King? Oh, no.
Yeah.
The Woman King. The Woman King. Yeah. I took myself out. I went to like a dining cinema, ordered a meal and the whole thing, recliner, and just sat with myself and watched the movie. And it was a beautiful, beautiful movie. I know, you know, people have all kinds of critique about it, but for me, it was just nice to see so many brown-skinned people, dark-skinned people, an African story in the cinema, and a pretty good African story. And I also, much as I enjoyed the movie, I also enjoyed the time I had to myself, and I thought I should do this often, take myself out on dates. So that brought me a lot of joy.
Wow, I love that.
Yeah.
Aww.
What about you, Jenny? What brought you joy?
I'm gonna keep it in a similar vein. I watched Black Panther this past weekend.
No spoilers.
But you know, I was so moved by it because it talked a lot about grief. It just seemed so like, I don't know, you know, it brought me to tears a lot. And I've been reading like reviews on it, and you know, people have their opinions, but what I was reading about the director and the cast, this was for them to honor Chadwick.
Brilliant. Like,
this was done for that. Not like it wasn't their first priority to make it like a Marvel movie, although it was a Marvel movie, and at the end it's still a Marvel movie, but their priority was to honor Chadwick, and I thought that was beautiful. And I love the representation in it. Love the representation of indigenous, like the indigenous culture. Mm-hmm. That was really cool. So no more I won't spoil anything, but I'm just saying, like,
yeah, no more spoilers.
I really loved it, and I think you will too.
Yeah, I'm planning to go and watch it over the weekend. And just like you said, like I said, I spent a lot of time on Twitter. I've been seeing different people tweeting about how powerful it was in terms of grief. And I'm looking forward to that because I understand grief on a very deep level. So I'm glad you enjoyed it.
It was, I loved it. It was powerful.
Yay.
Yeah.
Anyway.
So what are we doing today? I know we usually touch on, you know, topics that we both have just been curious about, or maybe like topics that are evergreen.
Mm-hmm.
But we kind of wanted to just touch on what's been going on in the world and the news, in terms of like queer culture and queer news.
Mm-hmm.
We haven't really done that in the past, so just wanted to catch up people on what's going on right now.
I think you mentioning that is very important. Even if we sort of speak a lot from what we're curious about, I think it's also good for us to sort of dive every now and then into current affairs or what's happening in the climate around us. And one of the pieces that I picked was about Brittany Griner. Now, I don't know if some of you have listened to some of our episodes before, but I respect women's sports, and I'm especially on a mission to do what I can do to contribute to the money that goes into the pockets of female basketball players. So I try as much as possible mm-hmm. for every season to go and watch as many games as I can. And so Brittany Griner is an American professional basketball player, and she's also openly queer and I think she's married, right?
She's married.
Yeah, she's married. She plays for Phoenix Mercury.
She's an openly queer Black woman.
Oh yeah, openly. That's
important.
That's absolutely important. Yeah. She's openly queer and she's Black. So she plays for Phoenix Mercury, but during off season in the US, she also plays professionally for a Russian team. And what's very intriguing about Brittany during this season, I think all throughout, because this has been ongoing for quite a while. She's only 32 years and was recently given a prison sentence of 9 years. And I was like, whoa, 9 years is really a long time for someone who's 32 and in the prime, you know, of her life. And I mean, she was given, I feel like this is a super tough sentence for illegal possession of cannabis oil. And I know the reason, I mean, I know it was a careless mistake on her part. And she did actually say that it was a careless mistake on her part. But we all know, I think, people that, you know, are very athletic or who do sports as a profession usually get all these sorts of injuries. And I've heard over and over again that cannabis is very powerful with helping them deal with some of that pain. And I think that's probably why she had it. But it's a very tough sentence for someone who has played for that country professionally, but also for someone that's 32 and, you know, young.
Oh, we know why the sentence is so tough.
It's so tough. It makes me wonder, is it, and you know, there's also been talk about.
If it was anyone else, like if that was LeBron James, he would have been back already.
He would be back already. Or
like that's such BS.
Yeah. Or like outside of basketball, is it Tom Brady? Am I right? Would be back already. And I think this is because it's a queer Black woman. And I mean, I might not be right. We might not be right. But the question is there. The implication is there. Because there's also been conversation about her being swapped for another prisoner in the US, a Russian prisoner. But there's no deal that has materialized. And I'm like, if this was someone else, it wouldn't take this long.
Yeah.
But 9 years is too tough a sentence. You know, I think 2 years or something like that would be ample. But 9 years is sort of like a criminal, like violent criminal. This wasn't like anything violent. So anyway, that's some queer news out there. Might not be the happiest, but sending all our prayers to her and her family. And I hope a sort of deal is reached at some point. Because she's been playing for the U.S. and she's also been playing for Russia professionally. So
she's been playing for them. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't know. The whole thing is messed up.
Yeah, totally. And anyway, also in other current affairs, Florida. Now, Florida. I don't know if any of you know a lot about Florida, but the Florida Medical Board voted to ban gender-affirming care for transgender youth below the age of 18. And this involves no puberty blockers, no hormone therapy, and no surgeries for all those under the age of 18. And this is sad. It's really sad. I co-facilitate a space for LGBT queer LGBT youth at my place of work, and we've got some, you know, trans youth in there, and they're such beautiful souls and such amazing souls. And legislation like this just hurts me because it's hurting them as a community.
It's heartbreaking.
Yeah, very heartbreaking. But we are not here to break your hearts. We're just simply highlighting different current affairs that are happening all over the world. And you know, it's so funny that even if this is happening, we do know that like there's also activists underground that are, you know, really working hard, pushing for legislation that's protects everyone. We know that there's organizations that are suing and, you know, mobilizing, and there's people giving in funds so that activists can get the work done. So even if all this is happening, we know there's underground work. Even I think for Brittany Griner, we might not see a lot happening, but I believe there's people
don't see a lot happening, but there's fight. There's a fight going on.
Yeah.
People are going to continue to fight. Mm-hmm. We all have to continue to fight and vote, do everything in our power, you know, to protect our trans youth.
Right.
100%. And there are so many people doing that right now.
Yeah.
And will continue to do that.
Yeah. And I think sometimes the misconception is thinking that you have to be the persons that's shouting in the middle of the street or demonstrating, or you have to be the person that's going into these courtrooms or knocking on doors. But I think we all have been empowered with different abilities to be able to make a difference wherever we are. And sometimes what you've been empowered with is maybe making a donation to an organization. A donation is never too small. It's never too big. Maybe what you've been empowered to do is maybe be a therapist. I don't know. We all don't have to be at the forefront, but wherever we are, I think we can make a difference in whatever you feel comfortable. You know, whatever way that you want to make a difference that impacts someone positively, especially in the LGBT community or protecting our youth that are marginalized, you are making a difference. Do not discount your voice and do not discount your power in the fight.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And so there's one, because I come from Uganda, I wanted to highlight this because it's very close to my heart. So this past August 2022, the government of Uganda shut down a key advocacy group for the LGBT community, SMAG, which in full would be Sexual Minorities of Uganda. And I do remember like watching these events unfold in real time on Twitter and people being so scared. People losing their jobs, people being kicked out of homes where they were staying. There were so many youth and so many members of the community that were just very anxious that they would be outed publicly because, you know, the government had shut down SMAG. And it was so sad. It was so sad to watch this, to know people, like the community was breaking apart. And I kind of tried to follow and learn as much as possible because before I came out, I didn't have that much knowledge about advocacy. You know, I didn't even know there were bodies in Uganda that were advocating. So the director of Sexual Minorities Uganda is actually Dr. Frank Mugisha. And really, honestly, I really respect him. In a very homophobic environment where there's a lot of, Uganda is basically, I would say, like most of the laws in Uganda are anti-gay, and there's a lot of witch hunting and basically a lot of the LGBT community usually faces a lot of, like, let's say, violence and all these kinds of stuff. And for him to be fully out fighting and advocating for sexual minorities to be recognized, advocating for anti-gay laws to be shut down, I think is honorable. And I think the reason they gave for shutting it down was because it wasn't registered properly as a nonprofit. It wasn't legally registered, but the reason they had refused to register it because of the name. And so there's just a bit of chaos in there. They are still sad. There's lots of untrue stories being passed around about the advocacy group that are not true. But these are some people that, like, you, like Frank Mugisha is an example of someone that's probably giving their whole entire life to make sure that the generation that comes after him probably lives a better life. I know right now he's not in Uganda. He had to flee. But I do hope that one time in Uganda, these anti-gay laws will just be shut down and there'll be equality for everyone and protection for all people.
Yeah.
I hope one day.
I hope so too.
But you know what? It's not all gloom and doom. So recently, in marriage equality, is it marriage equality law was passed across all Mexican states.
Yes.
That is powerful.
That is huge.
Huge, man. It's so huge. That was a big victory because I was reading just a little bit more about it. And the process was actually took a little over 12 years. So it's been a long, grueling process of, I think, people advocating. And you know, activists usually are at the forefront of a lot of this fight.
Yeah.
Lawyers and, you know, politicians. And so it's been 12 years in the making. And finally, yay, marriage equality was passed for everyone. And I think when you're in a heterosexual relationship, it doesn't mean a lot to you. But this is powerful that everyone is being recognized. Marriage is being recognized. There's marriage equality for everyone. It's a great win for the LGBTQ community.
Yes. Snaps to that.
Yeah, snaps. There's still
huge
more
win.
Yeah, there's still more good news.
So with I think that like happened at the end of October, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
We just had our midterm elections and oof, we had a lot of LGBTQ plus historic wins, had a lot of amazing firsts that we want to just highlight. I got this list from them, the website. So referencing their article on some of these highlights. But yeah, there were just, you know, a lot of historic electoral advances for like queer and transgender candidates in dozens of states. And we're only going to highlight a few, but we wanted to just, you know, give them props and give them some shout outs. So Maura Healey was Massachusetts Attorney General since 2015. And is now the first openly lesbian and first woman governor of Massachusetts.
Amazing.
That is huge.
That's
and amazing.
Huge.
Tina Kotek, first openly lesbian person to serve as a speaker of a state house in the U.S., is now governor of Oregon.
That's another big governor.
Yes. Huge. Becca, I don't know how to pronounce her last name. Balint. Is the first woman and LGBTQ plus person to be elected to Congress from Vermont. James Rosner, sorry if I'm pronouncing that wrong, is representing New Hampshire as the first out trans man elected to state legislature in the U.S.
No, that's big.
Another huge win. And in Montana, you know, there have been a lot of anti-LGBTQ plus legislation that has passed in the past year. But Democrats Zoe Zephyr, who is the first trans woman, and S.J. Howell, a non-binary person, they are both elected to Montana State's legislature. In Kentucky, where trans student athletes were banned from school sports earlier this year.
I remember.
Write-in candidate Rebecca Blankenship has become the state's first trans elected official and is also serving on the board of the independent school district of Berea. Sorry, totally butchering these names. And then another one that they highlighted was, oh, so a lot of dramatic results happened in Minnesota, and all 11 Victory Fund endorsed candidates won their election statewide, including Latinx and Two-Spirit state legislature candidate Alicia Kozlowski. And then other huge winners from Minnesota included Lei Fink, now the first openly trans woman to serve, and Erin Mae Quaid and Claire Umu Verbeten, the first Black woman elected to the body.
That's so,
a lot of huge wins.
That's
in Minnesota.
Big. That's big. Like, honestly, I don't think we even in this moment understand the magnitude of this. I know we've talked about representation before in the media, but this is mm-hmm. massive representation in the media, but also in leadership and in politics. And it's a big win.
Wild.
It's a big win.
It's just wild because you're like hearing this as mm-hmm. these results are coming in, or you're like reading about it, mm-hmm. but putting or like reading this in a list mm-hmm. like this and seeing it all, and this isn't even all of it.
No,
you know, these are just some highlights.
Right.
It's just, you can't, you know, you can't be like anything but proud and happy, or like, I'm just like smiling just reading these firsts and like these historical wins, and I don't know, it just makes me so happy.
Yeah, and this is a big win, one for us in the community, but also for those little queer, gay, LGBTQ children that can see themselves in these representatives, like, you know, yeah. having a non-binary person elected, having a trans yeah. person elected, having a lesbian person, and whichever other identities that, you know, we haven't mentioned. It's very, very powerful. It's great representation. And I think we've said this before, Jenny, that these people exist. By these people, I mean mm-hmm. queer people exist in our families. They are our friends. They are our parents. They are our grandparents,
yeah.
our nieces, our nephews, the kids in our neighborhood, the kids in our communities. But because we live in many of our societies have a lot of homophobic behavior towards this, or anti-gay laws or whatever, these people are quiet. But for people to be elected into offices, it's a big win. Mm-hmm. And I'm happy for the future generation, and I'm happy yeah. for this moment.
I'm so happy too. I do want to mention a couple more, just mm-hmm. because one is local to us, Long Beach. So Robert Garcia, formerly Long Beach's first openly gay mayor, is now the first LGBTQ plus immigrant to serve in Congress. So that immigrant. Is another huge win.
That's yes. huge. That's diversity right there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Wow. And then in Texas, I know we had some upsets in Texas, but Democrats Christian Manuel Hayes and Venton Jones helped triple the number of gay Black lawmakers in the state.
Let's go.
There is still work. There is still so much work that everyone is doing. And obviously, you know, this is going to be an uphill battle. Mm. But we're just taking a minute here to celebrate mm-hmm. the first step.
Mm-hmm.
We're just taking one step at a time. Every small win, we're just going to celebrate that next step.
Yeah. Actually, I really like what we've done here. I think every so often we should sort of do like a segment on news that's happening in the queer community, because I think some of us live in maybe societies that are pretty comfortable, or we're living in a bubble thinking that everyone is nice and everyone is protected. But it's good to sort of hear about wins happening in different parts of the world, but also to hear of areas that need our support or struggle, areas where people are still struggling. But not to put us down, but to just remind us that we have to keep going. We have to keep doing whatever it is we've been empowered to do to make a better tomorrow for the younger generation.
Yeah. Is that your queerly noted?
I bet it is. What's yours?
Yeah, I mean, I think in a similar boat, there's so much going on that I am not aware of either. So I think, you know, talking about some of the things that's going on now, or I listen to podcasts where they do catch up on like the news, and just hearing, there are just so many sad moments that people talk about. And I think the results of the elections have just made me take a step back and be able to appreciate, you know, the direction that we're going. You know, it obviously we have a long way to go, but I think it's just nice to get some good news and celebrate that, and really celebrate. Even if they're small wins, those aren't small wins. Those are huge wins.
Yeah, celebrating their victories. They're really big victories.
So just making sure we celebrate those wins, but also, you know, holding a lot of space and attention into what's really going on.
Right. In the light of celebrating wins, and I do not have all the details, but I think there was a vote on codifying marriage equality in the U.S. today. Or did I phrase it right?
I believe so.
Yeah, I think it passed the House. And I might need to get better details on that. But I think it passed the first stage. I think they want to codify it into law. That's also another big win, because with all this, I don't know. What there's a word that they use, conservative sort of something that's going on and uprooting, like, you know, they took the rights away, the rights of a woman. But anyway, we don't want to end on upsets. We want to end on the big victories.
Yeah.
So
hope you enjoyed the glimpses of different news segments today. It's a little different than what we've done. Right. Let us know what you think and if you want more of that. And until next time.
Till next time.
Love y'all.
Love y'all.
If you want to support Queerly, follow, rate, and leave a review on the podcast platform of your choice.
We would love to hear from you. So please reach out to us at hi.queerly@gmail.com or follow us on Instagram at Queerly Community. That's QUEERLYQMUNITY. Love y'all.